Oh, thank you, praise team. You guys are wonderful. All right. You know, I bet you today you didn't know it was a holiday. Oh, you knew 4th of July was just the other day. But you didn't know today is Religious Liberty Sunday. It's a day in which we celebrate religious liberty and the blessing of that freedom we have here in the United States. As we're free to worship without fear, as we're free to worship without doubts, as we're free to worship, what a precious gift that is. We can say the name of Jesus without fear that people are going to come in. We can speak His name boldly. But even more precious than political liberty is freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. And He gives us a freedom from shame, from sin, from guilt, from death. And so today, as it is Religious Liberty Sunday, we're going to break from our Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We're just going to read one verse today, so if you got your Bibles, I encourage you to flip over to that spot or scroll to it, whether the thing may be, or it's going to be on the screen. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and also do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Before we go any further, let's pray about that. Father God, we praise You today. Lord, we pray that our hearts be open to You as we seek Your wisdom in this word. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we thank You for all the gifts You have given us as we worship You and we thank You. As our minds can be 100 million places at once, our bodies can ache, our spirits can be in turmoil, Lord, I pray that You put all that aside right now and let us focus straight on You. Let our faces be lifted up upon You as we seek Your presence. Lord, we know You were ever present, but Lord, right now we seek to enter Your holy of holies, so make us pure before You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, government freedom can be taken away. The freedom of Jesus Christ cannot. Paul begins, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Now that's a powerful sentence, isn't it? But free from what? When he says it's free from what, he's not talking about when he talks about freedom. He's not thinking like we are. I got the American flag up here. We're thinking, we're free from what? Tyranny of another nation ruling over us. Now, Paul supported that. They were under Roman rule at the time. And he wanted them to be free. He's an Israelite. He doesn't want the Roman rule. But that's not what he's talking about. That's what lots of people thought Jesus was going to do. But that's not what Jesus did. People thought he was going to be the next Maccabeus, which if Maccabeus was a Jewish hero who came in and kicked the Greeks out, led a revolt that kicked the Greeks out of Israel. And they thought, hey, Jesus is going to be another Maccabeus. Going to kick the Romans out of Israel. That's not what Jesus did. Instead, he died on a cross and led another. And so when he says it's free, free from what? Now, in the context of Galatians, Paul is speaking against legalism. Specifically, those who are saying, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, then you got to do the Jewish things, like be circumcised. You got to be a Jew first, then you can follow Jesus. And Paul saying, no, 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 no. You could be a Gentile and still follow Jesus. You're not saved by works or by cutting off a bit of your flesh, but you're saved through grace, through the faith in Jesus Christ. But that grace, it brings freedom. Freedom from guilt and condemnation. freedom from the crushing weight of performance-based religion. You ever tried to be good enough? You'll never get there. Freedom from sin's power over your life. Freedom from death itself. I mean, can you imagine being a prisoner, being released from jail, and then the warden hands you the paperwork, says, "You're free." But the prisoner says, "No thanks, I'm good. I want to stay here." It kind of sounds ridiculous in our minds. But that's what spirituality, what we do when we go back to that religious legalism. And we do that legalism all the time, right? You got to go to this church if you want to be a Christian. And other churches, they're not Christian. We got to be this church. Or you got to read your Bible 6 times every day. Otherwise, you don't believe, you know. Or you got to give every bit of your money. I had one guy tell me that if you got haircuts, you weren't a true Christian, because you could be giving that money to orphans that didn't have it. And that's legalism. That's fantastic that he's so committed to that test, but that's legalism. And legalism is something that we struggle with now, as we're the religious leaders, and just like they did back then. What are the rules that we had to follow? But Christ didn't set us free so we could go back to chains. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Let's not take that lightly. Christ died to give us freedom, and he came at a great cost. You know, I hate it when people say salvation is free. I hate it when we put it that way. I heard it all the time growing up. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. Because it's not free. It's just been paid for already. It was paid for by Jesus Christ. And it was paid at a great cost. He died for you to have that freedom. And so he says, don't go under the yoke of slavery. Now, in Jewish traditions, the image of a yoke, which you put on an ox to make it go where you want it to go while you're plowing a field, we don't really use that imagery anymore because we don't plow fields anymore, especially with ox. I don't know the last time you saw that happening, but wasn't here in the States. We got tractors. But they use the image of a yoke, and they would describe it, the law, as a guiding. It was a good thing. They talk about the yoke of the law as a good thing. It guided your life, helped you to plow straight fields and stay into righteousness. But Paul redirects, he's reusing the imagery to say that now that Christ has come, it doesn't lead or teach people anymore, but instead that same yoke that used to be a guiding force is now an enslaving force. And he says, "I've come to set you free. So stand firm and don't let yourself be burdened by that yoke of slavery." And of course, we in our minds go back to that imagery, because every time we mention the word slavery, our minds are colored by what happened here in the United States and that triangle slave trade. That's just how our minds work. So we got this image of a black person carrying a yoke and being whipped and all this imagery, because that's how our mind. Now, they didn't have the same imagery as this, but that's where it goes. And maybe it's fitting, because he says, don't go back to that. He says, what used to be good is now, maybe it's that kind of imagery we should be thinking of. Horrible. Because freedom must be, but he also says, stand firm. Why do we have to stand firm in freedom? Because freedom can be taken away. If we let it be taken away, whether that's, it erodes, it must be guarded. politically, our freedom can be taken away, and we have seen freedom being taken away politically. More and more war powers, less and less freedoms. Y'all, I'm going on a plane in a little while, and TSA scares me. Security versus freedom, right? And that's just politically speaking, but spiritually, there's something known as spiritual drift, and it's very real. If we drift from good habits, exercise, eating well, we can drift spiritually just as bad. We can drift from our good habits, drift into legalism. We can drift into thinking if I do better, God will love me more. I got a secret for you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. That also means there's nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. He loves you. He may not always agree with you. He may not always say there's not going to be consequences. He may say, hey, that's the path of destruction. Don't go over. He may turn you over to the desires of your heart and say, hey, if that's what you really want. But that doesn't mean He doesn't love you. We can drift into thinking that just because I'm free, I can do whatever I want. Heard that one before, right? Well, God will forgive me, so it doesn't really matter what I do. That's not what the Bible teaches either, is it? That's the other side, right? Legalism, and then we'll call it licensing, right? I have a license to do whatever I want. I got a license to kill. God will forgive me. We'll call it licensing. We got two extremes there, right? We can drift into apathy, taking grace for granted. And so Paul says, don't go back into the old ways. Don't go back into the chains. Christ broke those chains of slavery so you may be free. And this isn't just about Galatia, it's about us. We have to ask ourselves, am I living like someone who is free in Christ? Or are we still carrying away shame and guilt and fear or performance? Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilt, from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. We stand firm, not on our own strength, but by standing on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus Christ has come and He is King. And He's King over all the other kings. He's God over all the other gods. We stand truth. That's what the gospel is. It's God's good news. And freedom. Freedom is eroding. Politically, you know some stories? In the United States, business owners, ministry, and other ministries are increasingly being taken to court over biblical convictions, especially over issues of marriage, gender, and other identities. Students, like the ones we just sent away, are being challenged to even to silence for bringing faith life perspectives in public schools. Pastors here in the States have been threatened for preaching biblical truth, especially on controversial issues. In Canada, in some provinces, there's a restriction on Christian counseling and preaching on especially issues of sexual identity and gender, even inside the church. In cases where pastors were arrested in Canada and fined for holding worship services during times when they put restrictions on it. in the UK, street preachers have been detained for quoting scriptures in public. Individuals have been investigated for praying silently in front of or near abortion clinics. These are the kind of things where faith starts to erode religious freedom. Political freedom can be taken away. And it's not guaranteed to last forever. We treat it like, oh, it's going to be lasted forever. I'm not saying we're martyrs. Don't be going there. There are people really suffering for the faith. I'm not saying that's us. I'm saying if we don't stand firm, it could be. And it's not guaranteed to last, nor should we expect it to. Because when spiritual drift happens and cultural pressure mixtures, it becomes a dangerous mix. And when the church drifts into apathy, at the same time social drifts into hostility, freedom lasts and freedom fades. The Pew Research shows that since 2007, hostile nations, people, groups hostile to Christianity have grown. That's Pew Research. You can go look up the statistics. Actually, I think I even put a link in the notes on the app. But it says, so we have to stand for them, not allow ourselves to be burdened by slavery. We can't afford to be silent. We can't afford to say, you know what, I'm not going to tell someone about Jesus Christ. I'm going to let someone else do it. We can't do that. We have to stand firm. Now, the truth is calling us not to hate. We're not supposed to be known for what we're against. Well, I'm a Christian, therefore I'm against. We're supposed to be Christian, therefore we're supposed to be known for our fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. What a blessing. We can't afford to be bitter. We stand firm in love, not fear. Standing for Christ, not for comfort. So use your freedom to serve in love. In Galatians 5:13, which is just a little bit down from where we started. It says, my brothers and sisters, we're called to be free. Y'all, we're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. What a beautiful statement that is. Freedom isn't a license to sin. It's an invitation to love. An invitation to love. And we're free to serve. We're free to worship. We're free to forgive. We're free to speak boldly about Christ. We're free to care for the poor, the hurting, the lost. And so when we look at this, we have to ask, you know, what are we doing with the freedom we have? Too many people have become apathetic. I don't want to scare you with the number. I know this church is a little different. You guys, there's more of you that share the love of Jesus Christ than the average. But the statistics, those who profess to be Jesus followers of Jesus Christ and those who tell others about the love of Jesus Christ, the statistics are horrifying. What are we doing with the freedom we have? We have Bibles in every format, every imaginable. We have sermons. We have the ability to share Christ publicly. Yet so many Christians behave like they're still imprisoned. Whether it be by guilt, oh, I'm nothing but a low down, no good sinner. And you're like, you know Christ forgave you, right? He died for that forgiveness. Where we're slave to, you know what, if I don't read this Bible today, then I must be a horrible Christian. Not that I'm saying don't read your scriptures. Please do. But it ain't going to kill you if you don't. Not today, and not every day. The magic number I hear is 4. If you can read your Bible an average of 4 days a week, you're going to see positive life change. So you know what? You miss a day. You know, shoot for 7. You miss a day. Don't kill yourself. You're not. It's not. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It just means you're going to have a better day tomorrow. As I talk about we're supposed to be aware of what's going on in the world around us. Not caught up in useless conspiracy theories, but focused on the love of Jesus Christ. And we have that ability, we have that freedom to speak Jesus' name freely. So let's not waste that freedom. Let's not waste it. So many believers around the world are in prison, sharing their Bibles in silence. Most of you have a Bible in your on your shelf, 2 or 3 of them. In my case, it's more like 15 or 20. You know, Bibles under every other chair. We got Bibles on your phone. You got Bible. And all the other nations are crying out, we just need a Bible. I was speaking to one young lady when I was in college, and she came to Christ because someone had smuggled in a Bible written on napkins. Handwritten, and not all the Bible, just bits of it. Because it was illegal in her country. She got to come to the United States, and I don't know what ever happened to her. She was afraid because she couldn't go home. Her family had disowned her, see, because she came to Jesus. Right now, in so many countries, our brothers and our sisters, they're meeting underground. They risk prison for owning a Bible. They can't legally share their faith, and yet they do, because their hope is in Christ, not in comfort. And yet we have the freedom to do so. Let us not take that for granted. Let us continue to share. Let us honor their example by standing firm and saying out Jesus' name boldly. Christ has set us free. And that's not just a slogan. That's the real reality. So today I urge you to stand firm in that faith, in that freedom. Don't go back to sin and fear. Live full, faithfully. Don't waste your liberty on comforts. Use your freedom to serve others. Share the gospels. Build the kingdom. Use those gifts that He's given you. Too many times I hear people say, well, I don't know how to share the love of Jesus. And that's because what they're focused on is they want an exact copy, like a manual. Like, this is what you say, and they'll come to Jesus. That's not how that works. There's no magic formula. God would have given you a magic formula if that worked. What He said is, I'm going to give you gifts, and you're going to use those gifts to share my love. And so those gifts, remember we talked in Romans, the 7 primary spiritual gifts? You can go read that sermon for yourself, I know. Go back to LaughlinChurch.com. You can find that one. Take the Real You assessment on our app, and it'll help you discover your spiritual gifts. If you've never done that, that's a great starting place. Use your gifts. So if your gift is serving, serve. If your gift is teaching, teach. Your gift is giving, give. Right? That's what it says. And that's how we, and it manifests itself in different ways. And it shows itself in different ways, and it's through those. Your gift isn't kids. It's why you do with kids. Your gift isn't, well, my gift is singing. Why do you sing? Because if your gift was singing and then all of a sudden you lose your voice, well, has God taken away the gift? Or does it just need to manifest itself in a different way? God has given us gifts, and we use those gifts to tell others about Jesus Christ. We use those gifts. So use your freedom. As John 8:36 says, so the Son sets you, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's be a church that lives that out. Freedom in Jesus Christ. Father God, right now, Lord, I thank you for the freedom we have in Christ. Thank you for that you've broken the chains of sin and death and helped us to stand firm, not to walk in grace, to walk in freedom, to serve and to pray that I pray for those brothers and sisters around the world who long for the same freedoms that we take for granted. Lord, I pray that you fill us up with boldness and joy that we follow you and use our gifts, the gifts that you have granted us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to a time invitation. We're going to invite you to make next steps. Now, your next steps